Let's cancel sin in our life. Let's cancel lust. Let's cancel greed. Let's cancel selfishness and give God first place in our life, okay? Let's think of that. Let's be having that as our mindset. Yeah, there are some setbacks, but we are not going to give up. We are not going to give in. We are going to win this battle through Jesus Christ. I hope you believe that with all of your heart. And Mallory is going to be putting together a newsletter this week that I've written a couple of articles for. I really want you to read that newsletter because I'm speaking to this kind of thing. There's an article there about just the times in which we live. I want you to read that article. I also would like for you to read that article that says cancel, cancel, cancel. Okay? Speaking of Mallory and Elijah, we have Elisha here today. So, welcome Elisha to Reinhardt for your very first Sunday here. We are so happy for you and praise the Lord for that. And there's a couple of people that I want us to pray for, and then we'll get into the message. One, Terry Logan, as you know, lost her sister this week, or I mean her daughter, and we want to be praying for Terry and her family, okay? And that service, that funeral service is Tuesday at 2 o'clock here at the church. And then we want to pray for Jim Rainey as he was diagnosed with the coronavirus this last week. So we extend our love to the Rainey family and pray for them. And I would like to do that right now. Would you bow your heads with me, please? God, right here this morning, there's rejoicing that is going on, and there are folks in our church family that are sad and going through hardship. And so we want to rejoice with the Pearson family, with Elisha's arrival this last week and his first Sunday here. We just are so thrilled for them, and thank you for his being a part of our church family. And Father, we pray for the Rainey family, your help to them during these hardships, and just get them through that. And Father, for Terry with the loss of her daughter, God, that you would bring comfort to her and strength, and that we could be instruments of comfort to her. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Desperate to worship. That's what we've been talking about the last four Sundays. And I think that we could say it this way. We would become more desperate to worship if we would become more desperate for God. And over this first 6 months of the year, we have been looking at that theme, desperate for God. If you are not desperate for God, then you are in a desperate situation. Why would we not be desperate for Him? He's the only source of fulfillment. He is the only source of eternal life. He is the one true God, and there is no God like our God. I was watching a video teaching this last week, and the speaker said this: why would we not be desperate for Him when we realize who He is? And certainly that caught my attention, because that is exactly the message that I have been trying to say to you over these last 6 months. Why would we not be desperate for Him when we realize who He is? And so the challenge, I think, must be this. We need to realize who God is. We need to see Him more clearly. We need to know Him more intimately. We need to come to terms with who God is. And according to this book, he is the God of gods and the Lord of lords. He is the creator and the sustainer of this universe. Not only did he get things started, but he also is the one who is holding everything together. If he took his hands off of this universe, it would come undone. And you say, I'm looking around the news and what's going on in our country, and it almost seems like things are coming undone. Well, if God took his hands off of the universe, the coming undone would be so much more extreme. We would have planets flying everywhere, and the sun would not rise as we know it to rise every day of our life. He is the sustainer of the universe. He is our refuge amidst the storms of life. He is our rock that is immovable and unshakable. He is our Savior. He is not one of many Saviors. He is the only Savior. He is love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. He is good. He is patient. He is faithful. He is the truth. He cannot lie. His promises cannot be broken. They will not be broken. He is patient. Aren't you glad about that? He is victorious over the evil one. He is our comforter. He is everything that we need. There is no God like our God. When we understand who he is, then we will become more desperate for him. Do you know what else is true? When we understand who he is, then we will realize better who we are. We'll realize, hey, we are sinners in need of a Savior. We'll realize that we are not holy outside of his grace. We are weak and we are hell-bound. We are foolish apart from his wisdom. We are without hope until we have taken a drink of his living water. We need him desperately, and we need to be desperate to worship him. And so let me ask you, are you desperate to worship God? All through the day, every day, we should be looking for opportunities to worship him. As we worship him through the week individually, it will help us be better worshipers of him on Sunday morning during this time. He created us for his glory. I've given reference in every one of my sermons in this particular series to Isaiah 43:7. And the reason I'm doing that is because it's such an important verse to help us understand our purpose for being here. We are put here on this earth to give him glory. Now, if a person doesn't know their purpose, it would be easy for us then to become disillusioned as to what our purpose is. We might start thinking that our purpose here on the earth is to make money. And so, if so, we would give all of our attention, all of our energy, and all of our effort towards making money, and it wouldn't take long for us to realize that's a dead-end road. That's just not where life is. Money cannot satisfy. If we don't know our purpose, we might be disillusioned to think that our purpose is to find pleasure. Our purpose is for our own enjoyment. And so we start trying to fill our lives with all of the things that the world has to offer, and all kinds of fun and all kinds of entertainment. And over time, we would realize that's not very good either. That's not fulfilling either. Solomon said it this way, I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. Think about that. What is Solomon saying there? He's saying, everything I put my eyes on, if I wanted it, I got it. I brought it to myself. I put my name on it. He said, everything that my eyes saw, I just brought it to myself. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Outside of his purpose, there's no meaning to life. Have you ever tried to chase the wind? You can't do it. He has created us for his glory. Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 10:31. So then, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I want to talk to you today about worshiping God through singing. And there are so many scriptures that give evidence or give emphasis to singing. And I want to read some of them for you. Each of these from the book of Psalms. You can follow along on the screen. Chapter 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Chapter 71, verse 23. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. Psalms 105, verse 2, sing to him, sing praises to him, speak of all his wonders. Chapter 101, verse 1, I will sing of loving kindness and justice to you, O Lord. I will sing praises. Chapter 98, verse 1, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. Verse 4 says, shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth, burst into jubilant song with music. Make music to the Lord with the harp and the sound of singing. These are just a few of the verses that talk about singing. One source I looked at said there are at almost 50 verses admonishing us or exhorting us to sing in Scripture, as well as 400 references to singing. Singing and worship just go together. And please, don't anyone say, I can't sing. Well, maybe you can't sing pretty, but you can sing. If you can't sing pretty, then you're in company with me. Because I can't sing pretty, but I can make a joyful noise to the Lord. I don't sing pretty, but I do sing loud. And that's not a very good combination. And I will be honest with you, it wasn't too long ago that my wife, Cindy, compared me with a certain friend of ours who sings very loud, and if she ever hits a right note, it's very rare. And she compared me with this gal. And I said, thanks a lot for that compliment. And it wasn't real long ago that my daughter Abby was standing next to me in church and we're singing, and I notice out of the corner of my eye she's just looking at me and she's laughing. And I stop singing and I look at her and I said, what is wrong with you? What is so funny? And she said, you sound bad. Hey, if you're in company with me, that's okay. But we can make a joyful noise to the Lord, and that is what He is most interested in. Let me give to you some thoughts this morning about singing and worship. First of all, we sing to the Lord. We're not singing to impress our neighbor. Rather, we are singing to Him. Those verses that I read to you earlier from the book of Psalms. O come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. My lips will shout for joy when I sing praises to you. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. We sing to an audience of one. That's why when we sing in worship, we need to be giving our very best to Him. He is deserving of our best worship. He is deserving of our attention and our praise to Him. That, and it is a sacrifice of praise. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says, "Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer up to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name." Our singing is a sacrifice of praise to God. And so we need to be focused. We need to be involved. Whether we're sitting and singing or whether we're standing and singing, please don't be that person who doesn't sing. You're missing a real blessing if that's you. And you are missing an opportunity to give praise to the King of Kings. And it only makes sense that when we realize who He is, that we would give praise to Him, that we would sing to Him. All phones down. Voices raised. Hands raised, if the Spirit leads you to do that. Minds engaged. And we're all in when it comes to worship. Now, I realize that's our goal. Because it is easy to become distracted when we are trying to worship. And it is a battle. Satan is right there trying to distract us in any which way he can. But we need to be fighting that. We need to be focused. We need to be giving our worship to this one-of-a-kind God. There is no God like our God. Let me give to you a second point. We're commanded to sing. This is a matter of obedience. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 18 and 19 says, "Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead," what? "Be filled with the Holy Spirit, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music to the Lord in your hearts." Note, this is in the form of a command. That we are to be singing to Him songs of worship. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good recommendation. It is a command that we sing to Him. And don't neglect to see, too, that this is a part of being filled up with the Holy Spirit. When we have the Holy Spirit inside of us, songs should come forth. We make music unto the Lord. The Holy Spirit just overflows from us in music. Could I encourage you to sing to God on more than just Sunday morning? Sing to Him through the week. Sing to Him in your own personal quiet time. Sing to Him as you're driving your car. Sing to Him as you're mowing your yard. Sing to Him as you're doing the laundry and sorting the laundry. Sing to Him as you're doing the dishes. Sing to Him as you're walking along the way. Last week, being Father's Day weekend, Cindy and I went to our son's house, Jonathan, and his family on Friday and Saturday. And prior to our going, we had been up in the attic and had seen his little red wagon from when he was a little tot. And we thought, we need to take that wagon to him, get it out of our attic, and take it to him, because he's got a little one, Irene, that is right at the age that would enjoy his red wagon. And so we dusted that wagon off, and we took it to his house, and guess who became the official wagon puller for 2 days? Papa. I was like a mule. pulling that wagon. She did not want to get out of that wagon. She enjoyed every minute of that time of me pulling her, and I became a singing mule. As I was pulling her, I pulled out every VBS song that I could remember, and I was singing to her, Jesus loves me, and Jesus loves the little children, and follow me, I will make you fishers of men, and the B-I-B-L-E. And I mean, I was pulling all of those old songs out, and I was singing to the Lord, and she's looking at me like, what are you doing, Papa? Let me give to you a third point. Our singing helps us learn the Scripture. You know, a lot of the praise songs that we sing are straight out of Scripture. And so as we're singing praises to Him, we are singing the words of Scripture. A lot of them are actually word for word from Scripture. And then you think about it, a lot of the hymns that we have sung through the years, they are stories of Jesus. And they are reminding us of the truth of Scripture. Maybe a song that we sing will expound on a certain topic, Amazing Grace. When we all get to heaven, there's power in the blood. Love lifted me. As we sing, we are reminding ourselves of the truth of Scripture. We are meditating on Scripture. We are saying, this is what I believe. That song that we sang earlier in the service, it's entitled The Creed. You think about that. Every song, or almost every piece of theology that we believe in is in that song. I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. And so as we sing that song, we are acknowledging together, we are confessing together that we believe in God, we believe in Jesus, we believe in the Holy Spirit, and then it goes deeper, we believe in the Trinity, that the three are one. And as we continue singing through that song, we're acknowledging together, we are confessing together that we believe Jesus suffered and died on the cross for our sins. We believe that He raised up from the dead. We believe that we have our own resurrection from the dead, and there is going to be a resurrection in the end. All of this is in that one song, and it touches on the virgin birth. It touches on communion. It touches on the church. It is a declaration of every piece of theology that we believe in. And so why would we ever even think about singing that song and not having our whole self into it? It's a proclamation of faith. Let me read to you a piece that I found off the internet. I quote, "Our singing is more than a warm-up for the sermon or a filler in the service. Colossians 3:16 is clearly laying out for us that singing stands alongside of preaching as one of the two great ways that God has ordained for His Word to richly dwell in our hearts. C.J. Mahaney calls church singing take-home theology because the best songs we sing together serve as a three-minute, easily memorizable, deeply biblical summary of important truths from Scripture," unquote. So singing takes God's Word and puts it into our heart, and then we project it out. This is what I believe, and we are doing this together. And by the way, as we sing these words, these songs, are we really paying attention to the words that we are singing? This song that we sing it a lot here at Reinhardt, the river. We're going down to the river, down to the river, down to the river to pray. Let's get washed by the water, and rise up in amazing grace. Let's go down, down, down to the river. You will leave changed. Let's go down, down, down to the river, never the same. I'm wondering, are there any folks here that sing that song that have never gone down to the river themselves? Are we really paying attention to the words of that song? You know what it's about. It's talking about being baptized. We're going down to the river to be washed by the water. We're talking about going down and arising up to God's amazing grace. We're talking about being born again, arising up that makes you come alive. I mean, there's no doubt about what that song is saying. And there is no doubt either about the kind of baptism that that song is talking about. It's talking about an immersion baptism. And we're singing it. And it's got a catchy beat. And we're enjoying it. And we're just kind of moving with the music. And I'm wondering, have we done the message of that song? Now, most of us have. And for us, it's a celebration of what has happened in our life. And no wonder it has a catchy beat, because it's a point to celebrate. But I'm wondering, too, if there's some folks just here and there that are singing that song that have never gone down to the river themselves. Why not? Why not? Singing implants the Word of God into our hearts. Let me say one more point, number four. When we sing, we build others up. And I think we have experienced this here over these weeks past. From mid-March, March 15th was our last Sunday together in one service, and then we went 7 weeks at home, locked down from the pandemic. And we were worshiping at home. And when we came back on Mother's Day, didn't you sense an excitement? Didn't you sense an encouragement as we sang together? I think that's one of the things we missed the most. You got to hear the preaching on the TV or on the computer, but the thing that we missed the most was the singing together. I mean, she got to listen to me, and it wasn't pretty. But when we came back on that Mother's Day, I think it was May 10th, and we sang together corporately, it was like, wow, we really missed this. And so not only were we lifting him up, but we were being lifted up through our singing. And then we went another 7 weeks in two services, and it was wonderful, but it wasn't last week just special as we came back in one service together and we lifted our voices in unison together, praising his name? You could sense the energy, you could sense the excitement that people were feeling. So when we sing, we build others up too. And there's several factors, I'm sure, that contribute to this encouragement. Part of it is the fact that music involves our emotions so much. Music has an inroad to the heart, and so we are experiencing emotions together as we sing, and it's all positive stuff. And we are encouraged over that. And we're worshiping the King together. And we're proclaiming our faith together. God's grace is truly amazing. Nothing but the blood of Jesus washes away sins. In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fierce drought and storm. That is a proclamation of our faith together. And let me say this. As we sing together and we have our whole heart in our singing and we are worshiping together, we are encouraging each other, we are building one another up. Let me ask you, what do you think that does to an unbeliever who comes in here? And they happen to come in to Reinhardt Christian on a Sunday morning, and they are here, and they are looking around, and they're seeing people who are engaged in worship together, and people are all in, and they are singing. You know, I think these people really believe what they're singing. When we're giving our best in worship, it is actually a very effective tool of evangelism. Our worship together is a tool of evangelism that God will use it to touch that unbeliever's heart who might happen to be here in our midst. But what if they happened into a church where the music wasn't so lively and where the music was dragging and dead, and they look around and people are not focused and people are on their phone and people are talking to each other and they're laughing and they're not worshiping? I think that unbeliever is going to go away thinking, I don't think they really believe what they're singing. And so let's worship with our whole heart as we sing together. I'm going to ask our people to come back because we're going to worship today. And I want to encourage you to be all in. Let's pray. God, help us to lift you up above every other name. Amen.